Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus.
The most glorious work of all, to praise God in His kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Well, it's good to be with you again. Good to have all our extended family with us tonight. And it's always such a joy for all of us here. Everybody here works so hard every day trying to get programs made and get them on satellite and change them and edit them and do all the things that have to be done. And then you see all these people that come and you know it's worth it all. And when you kind of feel that even little children appreciate the network, and they like it. That's a great grace from God. And only God can inspire children to listen to a religious network. It shows even they hunger for God. And we all hunger for God. We don't know sometimes what's wrong with us. Do you ever walk around and you feel there's something wrong, but you don't know what it is? Do you ever do that? Everybody does that. That's where some people go the wrong direction. They try to fill that vacuum up by themselves. Now you really can't. I think we live in an awesome time. There's so many things that are unusual, crazy, even the weather. We had a storm last week, and I told you about it. I could have read a book by the lightning. Never stopped. And I think the signs of the times are such, it might be good for us tonight to look at the book of Revelations. Now, some of you don't understand it, and some of you don't like it. Kind of scary in parts, you know? But I'm going to take the first three chapters. I can't take them all tonight, but I'm going to run through them a little bit. Because I think, the sisters and I have been doing this a couple mornings. I think most of us want to know, am I pleasing God? Don't you want to know that? And some of us are going to say, how do I know? And I say, well, when you die, you'll know. That doesn't seem to be much comfort, though, you see. And so I said to the sisters, let me tell you something. I can tell you exactly what God likes and doesn't like. And how we should live an interior life. And there are a lot of people don't even know they have one. You have an exterior life. At some point in this country, you decided to come here. Somebody drove you here. Somebody's going to drive you back. Our life is made up of time. We get up in the morning, and then we have breakfast, and then we go to work, and then we come back, and then we have supper, and then we go to bed, and we do that for 40, 50, 60, 70. We have a wonderful priest here, 90, 81. Boy, I almost made you 91, Father. He looks 60. It shows the priestly life is good for you. But see, we don't always know what's inside of us. Huh? We know at baptism, we learned that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came and dwelled in us. They live in us. Now, the liberals say you were initiated into the big club. Don't believe them. They're so far wrong, it's pitiful. The church teaches that when you were baptized, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son came and began to live in you. We call that divine indwelling. St. Paul says in one of his epistles, do you not know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? He said, if you don't know it, you fail the test. I wouldn't want to give anybody a test on that one. Why is it so hard for us to believe that Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in you? Well, you say, let's see. I don't know if they're in a state of sanctifying grace. True, I think you can tell, though. And by the life they live. But what keeps us from seeing Jesus in everybody? One of the things in today's world, we do not see Jesus in the elderly, so we try to get him out. We don't see Jesus at all. We don't see even a human being in the unborn, so we get rid of them. And so society has lost the presence of God. And so tonight I want to introduce you to what we call the interior life. How do you live with God in your daily life? Do you talk to him? Say, so, yeah, I talk to him, but he never answers back. Oh, yes, he does. God will answer you every time you talk to him. The problem is we don't like the answer. That's the problem. Have you ever felt very, very, depressed, very worried about something? And you say, well, I think I'll go to the church and just sit there a minute. And you go and you sit there before the Blessed Sacrament. And you walk home stronger, better. You're more in control. You know you can solve this thing, or you know you can endure it. And the most wonderful thing in the whole world is to have the comfort of the Lord. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking about knowing I am on the right track. Now, in the first seven churches that we're going to look at this evening, I went through it. I'll go through it quick for you because we need to know, why did Jesus pick out these seven churches? What was it that he was happy with? And what was it he was not happy with? Now, that would give you a hint, don't you think? In the first church of Ephesus, he said, I know how hard you work, how much you put up with. I know you cannot stand wicked men and how you tested these impostors and proved them to be liars. I think that's pretty good, huh? I'd be happy if God said that to me. I know, too, you have patience. He will not say that to me. And have suffered for my name without growing tired. Now, don't you think that's a wonderful compliment from God, huh? Isn't that great? Hold it. But I have something against you. You have less love now than you used to. Well, what about that, huh? He said, think where you were before you fell repent and come back. You know, in today's society, even so-called spiritual people will encourage you to do things that are not right. Birth control is one, if there's not a very serious reason. And many things today, different ways of life that everybody has okayed. Even children now are allowed to sue their parents. See, we have lost the whole reality that Jesus is in me and Jesus is in you, and that's how you lose your first love. And you know, I think some of us have done that. Why? Because we're not enthused about the church anymore. I know we have heretics, schisms, and everything else in the church. I just got a newspaper article from Pittsburgh where the St. John the Baptist Church, I think it is, has been sold for a bar. The stained glass windows are going to stay, and the high altar are going to be used to hold beer kegs. See, we have lost, somebody somewhere has lost the reality. On that altar was the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's consecrated. Consecrated. And you put on their beer cakes. I don't blame you for getting discouraged sometime. I do if you cease to fight for the Lord and His faith and His church. You can no longer play dead. You can't. See, you. And that's what the temptation here is, to be so fed up with all this monkey business that's going on that you forget. God called you into the church. God gave you His body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. He gave you a church filled with every truth we could ever imagine. That's where our first love is. We can't get there. If you can't do anything else, pray for the poor people who sell churches to be barred. Beer taverns. Pray for them. Jesus died for them as He died for you. And we can't let them go to hell. So please pray. That's one of the things our dear Lord is unhappy with. Another thing they were doing in Ephesus is listening to a very heretical group of people. Now he has another message for another church. And he says, I know the trials you've had, how poor you are, though you are rich, and the slanderous accusations they have made by the people who profess to be Jews but are members of the synagogue of Satan. Ooh. Oh, God. Do not be afraid of the sufferings that are coming to you. I tell you, the devil is going to send some of you to prison to test you. And even if you have to die, keep faithful. And I will give you a crown of life. What did we learn here? Jesus did not reprimand this church. If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen. And for those who prove victorious, there's nothing to be afraid. He didn't find any fault with this church. Why? Because they would not accept the heresies, the schisms, even then. They would not accept or live by a lie. See? They took up the cross of confusion that was in the early church. And they took it and they carried it faithfully. So what is it that Jesus really asked you and me to do today? To be faithful. In this church, we have to be patient in our sufferings. Now, what did he say to the other church? He says, I know you live in the place where Satan is enthroned. Oh, don't we all live around that today, huh? But you hold firm to my name and you do not disown the faith in me. You are my faithful witness. Nevertheless, here it comes, everybody. I have two things against you. Some of you are followers of Balaam, who taught Balak to set a trap for you. So they committed adultery by eating food sacrificed to God. Now, isn't that an interesting statement, huh? We usually think of adultery as when somebody stepped out on his wife for sex before marriage, when you're married. No, wait a minute. Our dear Lord said, if you eat the food of something sacrificed to a pagan god, you commit adultery. Why did he say that? Because Jesus considers it adultery when you veer away from him. He loves you that much. When you veer, some of you kids out there listening tonight are hooked on satanic worship and you think it's a game and you think it's fun. But the Lord God calls it adulterous. You have gone away from your first love and you've turned to his enemy. Come back. Come back. See, we have to come back. And today, some of you are so hooked on New Age. Everybody wants to be a little God. Well, the millions of dollars spent on deodorant prove you're not a little God. I mean, it's an amazing. Billions of dollars are spent every year on deodorant soaps, on deodorant this and deodorant that. Makeup, I could buy a satellite for every town in the world for all the makeup women you spend money on. And everybody knows there's something else behind it. Something we can't see, but it's there. And I suppose, reminds me of this woman who felt so bad. And she went to confession and she told Father she used a lot of makeup and she said she felt she was being sinful and maybe she shouldn't use any more makeup. And he knew who she was and he said, on you, Molly, it's a necessity. So some people, it's a necessity. Now, these people accepted God, the Lord Jesus, and they accepted the heresy together, the kind of mixed bag. The Lord says, don't do that. Don't do that. and he promises something. Oh, I think this is the most wonderful promise. He said, if anyone has ears to hear, let him listen. To those who prove victorious, I will give the hidden manna and a white stone. A stone with a new name that only the man who receives it understands and reads. Can you imagine that? Ah! When you die and you finally get to heaven, it may be a little detour. When you meet him face to face, he will give you, he says, a little white stone. And on that stone will be a name. The marvelous thing about it is, you are the only one that knows it. He is the only one that will say it. And if you had 5 billion people around you, you're the only one that would hear it. See how personal God's love is for you. You're not a little piece of sand on the seashore. You're not a pebble on the beach. You are special to God, so special that he has chosen a name no one else has. He has chosen to give it to you on a white stone, and only you will hear it. A lot of people think, well, God's up there, I'm down here. No. He is God, and though he is there, and he is here also. He said one time to the Pharisees, and he said, where is this kingdom you're always talking about, you know? He said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. I am a temple of God. You are a temple of God. Your weaknesses don't take away the temple. Only if you sin. We know we should get great joy when we see each other. Why? Well, because I come in contact with Jesus every time I see you. So special are you before God. Oh, I can't imagine. I can't wait for that day to see what is my name. The worst thing about it, everybody, is I can't tell anybody. All women in heaven will keep that secret. You may have a hard time keeping others, but that one you'll keep. Because it's just for you. Now, who would think of that but God, huh? Who would want to give you a special name? A woman told me one time that her husband was always so thoughtful. And she said, and he calls me a special name. And me, curious today, yep. I said, oh, what is it? Oh, I can't tell you. I said, why? He'd be embarrassed. Whatever it was something loving to her. And no one else knew it. Oh. What a promise Jesus gave us, huh? See, a stone with a new name. Now he goes to the next church. And what did they do that was so bad? You encourage the woman Jezebel, who claims to be a prophetess. By her teaching, she is luring you away. Here it is again, of committing adultery, of eating food sacrificed to idols. There are a lot of Jezebels today. A lot of false prophets. You see them everywhere. New Age is false prophets. People that bring you away from Jesus is a false prophet. People who deny the truth in the church, who deny the Eucharist, who deny Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, who deny the beauty of the church's doctrines, are all false prophets. And what did the Lord say to them? He says, to those who prove victorious and keep working for me to the end, I will give the authority over pagans, and I shall shatter them like an earthenware jar. There's a petition going around, and I think all the churches, at least that's what it said in the paper. Now, how many all the churches are, we don't know. But in America, there's a petition wanting the people to state that they want women priests, they want married priests, they want alternate lifestyle, they want everything that God is against in the church. That's what they want. Be careful if someone hands you something to sign. Don't sign it. Because you're going to sign something that will do you in and everybody with you. In another church, she says, revive what you have, for you are dying fast. A physical death? No. No. Hold on. Repent. And he says, keep your robes from being dirtied. See? All the lust in the world, all the lack of chastity and holiness in the world. Our Lord says, you're getting your garment dirty. I want you to dress in white. In white. In another church, Philadelphia, he has only wonderful things to say. He said, I know you, and I have opened in front of you a door nobody will ever close. What a great gift that would be, huh? If the Lord said that to me, I'd say, Lord, I want 4 more satellites, please. If nobody's going to close them, I want 4 more satellites. He said, I will make them come and fall at your feet. Who? All the enemies of God. And they will know you are the people I love. How do you like that, huh? When you stand up for your faith, everybody knows you are the people that God loves. I will keep you safe in the time of trial, which is going to come to the whole world. To test the people of the world. But I shall be with you. Hold on firmly to what you have. And let nobody take that prize away from you. When you hear or see something going wrong, the little voice in here tells you, doesn't it? Something wrong here. Listen to it. Don't jeopardize your faith for someone's opinion. Opinions are like wind. They go and they come. They go and they come. And the last church, he says, I know about you, you are neither hot nor cold. Ooh. You are lukewarm, and I will spit you out of my mouth. Ooh. Not a nice passage of scripture. I very seldom hear anybody quote it. And what do you say? You say, I have made a fortune, I have everything I want, but you are poor and pitiful. That's what it says. What is our dear Lord saying to us? One thing here, look, he says, I am the one who reproves and disciplines all those he loves. Ah. We know some very important things. We know, number one, we must be faithful to God, to his commandments, and to his church. Pay no attention to those who push it around, change it around from one thing to another thing. These churches were churches of those days, but you are a church. You are a temple. You are made to the image of God. How awesome that is. You carry God around you all day long. Wherever you go, he goes. And with that deep reality that I am a temple of the Lord, I think if we knew that, we would act differently, huh? We would act more kind, more loving, more understanding. And he's made all these awesome promises. Awesome promises. I can't wait till I see my new name. Just imagine all of you people, and I would call one of you a name and no one else would even hear it. You never wonder, I think our Lord loves secrets. Did you ever notice every time Our Lady appears to somebody, all these little kids, she gives them each a secret? Did you ever notice that? And they don't tell it either. The little children of Fatima said, what's the secret? Oh, we can't tell you. We'll burn you alive. I can't help it. Yeah, just little kids about that big. Every person, from Padre Pio, from Catherine of Siena, to Angela Foligno, to all of the saints, he always gave a secret. See how much he loves you? Did you know that? Would you sin so much if you knew how much he loves you? We live a very intellectual age. Very intellectual age. Today I hear poor France sent up 4 satellites and they all blew up. What a terrible thing. But see, man, when we create something, it's very, very volatile and very shaky. We must hang on to the things that are real. Real. We use the things that God has given us, that man has created. But what is real in my life, in your life? What is real? You are loved by a great God. He has a new name for you. He speaks to you as a friend speaks to a friend. He created you out of nothing. And he wants you to be living with him forever in this awesome kingdom we call heaven. See, I want you to know your real dignity. It doesn't matter if you're beautiful or ugly, short or tall, fat or skinny. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. whether you're bright or not bright. What really matters? We use these things, and we have to. We have to eat and sleep, but what is really important to you? You know, we heard Father Staub the other night talking about the new theology and the new philosophy, where if this is a book, they say, no, it's not a book. You think it's a book. Baloney. It is a book. It is a book. Now, our pride is so great, we want to understand the things that make are just plain nonsense. And we forget our entire lives how much God loves me and you as if no one else existed. It is impossible to be lonely if you have the faith. What is faith? Something made believe? No, that's imagination. Is faith a parable? No. What is faith? I believe there is a God. That's obvious. I believe that God loves me because he sent his only son, and that's a truth. I believe that he created me special because my chance of being born were about 1 in 60 billion. And today, after God says, you will be, man says you won't. But let me tell you, God wins. As soon as God decides that child shall be, it is. And you may kill it in the womb, but you have not killed anything, because that child denied the right to live, shall live. Shall live forever and ever and ever. That's what you have to understand. You are loved. I wonder how these martyrs, I went to England a couple of weeks ago. I saw where the martyrs were. Oh, they were hung and drawn and quartered. Oh, you can imagine the brutality. Saint Barnabas was skinned alive. Oof. What made them persevere in this awesome martyrdom, huh? They knew one thing. They may have been faulty, they may have been sinners. Once they knew this one truth, that God loved them. My Father is in heaven, and he loved me enough to give his son for me. For me. Weak, frail sinner that I am, he gave his son for me. And that new, that son, that eternal word, after which this network is made, created, and continues to exist. That word became man, went through a horrible death just for me, just for you, just for you. How can anything be too hard when we know this? Huh? How could anything be too much? Why would I be all excited over the things I don't have, the things I can't have? If you have the greatest love in the world, what is lacking to you? Tell me. What is lacking when you have the love of an infinite God? We say, well, I'm only human, Mother. Well, good news, you know, I didn't know that. You're only human. What do you think the rest of us are? That's why we must forgive and forget. You know, I must have close to 2,000 programs. I don't even know if I repeat myself anymore. But if I can teach you that one thing, if I can get you to accept that one truth, Jesus loves you. And he did all he did. Before time began, he had you in mind and decided you would be. He decided I would be born on April 20th, 1923. If your arithmetic's bad, see, I'm 76. Not a moment of that is out of his mind. He has for me and for you a new name. He will defend you in the battle of death, the battle of pain, the battle of sickness, the battle in the church today. We will succeed, and God will overcome for us. Our mother, the church, may be weak and a little tired and a little shattered. But the Spirit of the Lord will come one day and breathe upon her. She will rise glorious. We have a call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Where are you from?
I'm from Ohio.
Great.
And I have a comment.
What is your question?
It's a comment about how do we know if we please the Lord in our everyday life? And I guess my philosophy is, if Jesus were to sit in front of me right now, would he be proud of what I was thinking and what I was doing and how I was conducting myself? And I kind of do this in my everyday life at work and at home and in front of my grandchildren, in front of my own children who do not go to church.
I think that's awesome. I think that's wonderful. Wonderful. If we stay away from grievous sin, we can be sure the Lord is pleased with us. We don't always overcome our imperfections, you know. I don't ever think there is going to be a day when I am totally, absolutely patient. I pray for it. I wake up with the illusion that this may be the day. But, you know, what are you going to do? But God loves me. That I know. If you love him enough that you can say, well, what would Jesus do at this moment? You're in great shape. Keep doing that. We don't always find a reflection of Jesus in a beautiful way in everybody. We do, though, and we will find him crucified in some, but then we need to be compassionate. We see him lonely in some. We need to be there. We need to be loving. We see him suffering pain in some. We need to be compassionate. You cannot get away from Jesus. When we call this network Eternal Word Television Network, we were very criticized. It didn't sound television-ish, you know? But the reason we named it that is we wanted everybody in the world, whether they're atheists, agnostic, even those who hate me, say, that woman on EWTN, they have to say eternal word. I think that's hilarious. I just read a nasty article. It was very nasty, and I laughed about it because he kept saying eternal word throughout. I thought, well, he doesn't even know what he's saying. Every agnostic and atheist that reads anything about this network has to say or hear those awesome words. Eternal word. Wow. We have a call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica.
Yeah, hi. Where are you from?
I'm from Ohio. It's such an honor to talk to you.
Wonderful.
I'm a substitute teacher for the Catholic diocese here for 2 years, and I see some wonderful things going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so concerned. I see some teachers, and they're good people, but they're being misled by the priests and people that feel like people know more than them, saying that there was no Adam and Eve. Jesus did not walk on the water. He did not part the sea. And I see these, and I don't know how to answer them. What do you say to them? I feel like my son's going to high school, and I hear that this Catholic high school is teaching a lot of this, and it just really concerns me.
I would say what Jesus said, liar. They lie. They've lost their faith. They're humanists. The world is full of humanists. We don't want an infinite God. We don't want to get a God who is infinite in intellect. We want a God that we can control. A God we can tell what to do. A God that we tell what we will obey. Tell me, what do these people who tear this book apart and say Jesus really didn't perform any miracles when he multiplied fish and he multiplied bread, they just encouraged people to share their lunch with everybody. You lie. That's a lie. You mean that the apostles looked at all these people about to faint. Why? Because they hadn't eaten in 3 days. I don't think those people have even read the good book. You know why I think so? Because what they think isn't right, they've changed it. They changed inclusive language as another satanic tool. I haven't said that for a long time. I'm getting weak. But it is. It's satanic. I hope one day everybody who has lost their faith, the worst thing is, if you've lost your faith, that's one thing. When you make others lose their faith, that, buddy, is something else. Now, you may have done away with hell. Sorry, it's still there. And you may spend eternity there, saying there is no hell. Wouldn't that be something, huh? What are you there for? I'm here because there is no hell. Ah. So what are you doing there? This is not hell. Ooh, looks mighty hot to me. I don't believe this is what it is. Well, what is it? Hell if I know. And I went to say it. Did that make any sense to any of you? You got to hit them. But you know, I think when you say you lie, they go like, ooh. You lie. That's all. The Lord says it himself. And he says, anyone who says there is no sin, and oh, you hear that a lot today, is a liar. It's a very charitable gospel thing to call a heretic a liar. It's all over here. We have another call. Hello? Hi.
Hello?
Oh, where are you from?
Pennsylvania.
Good. What is your question?
My question is, why is it that it's better to be cold than lukewarm? I never understood that.
Well, this is what it means. It means that the Lord would rather know you hated him, or he'd rather know you loved him. And aren't we that way too? The worst thing is when somebody just doesn't care. If somebody hates you, well, I got a lot of stuff, people like that. I don't care. You can always turn your dial. You don't have to listen to me. You got 105 other channels. If I bug you, turn your dial. I'm not going to change. So the people who hate you, what are you going to do? You pray for them, you go your way, huh? The people that love you, who has a problem with them? Nobody. Those who ignore you totally as if you did not exist. Don't you find that harder? It denies your existence. That's what it does, see? Denies your very existence. That's why our Lord would say, and you know, that kind of person is hard to convert because they don't think there's anything wrong with them. Those are the people who I don't care. It doesn't mean, now, it does not mean that the Lord wants people to hate him. No. At least he knows where you are. But lukewarm, neither hot or cold. When we have light, I must go by the light I have. And what it says here in these first seven churches is we are bound to know the truth. We are not bound to follow somebody else's opinion or even my own. We're bound to truth. We have another call. Hello?
Hi, Mother Angelica.
Where are you from?
Michigan.
Great.
I would like to know the Catholic Church's position on the rapture.
Many of today's prophets, and there are many, many of them that I think are really authentic, are saying that the Lord himself will come. St. Faustina, in her diary, says the same thing. He will come, and the entire world will be changed. That's not the rapture. It's not millennialism. You look at today's society, and you look at our politicians, and you look at world leaders. Enough to make you despair. Not to worry. I believe. Now, I am no prophet or no prophetess. And I don't speak for the church. Or don't say the church teaches this because it doesn't. I believe, though, that the entire world is in such a state at this point that the Lord has to intervene. He may scare us all to death. That wouldn't be bad if we get straightened out. But I don't think he's going to do something like that. I believe what St. Faustina says. At some point, somehow, somewhere, the Lord will enlighten our consciences, everybody's, from little children to 96-year-old people. We will enlighten our consciences. We will have all the knowledge we need. We will have all the knowledge of what we did right and wrong. And we will have that awesome grace to turn back to Jesus. I believe in that, and I believe it will happen one day. I don't know if it'll be in my day or your day. Our Lord said to St. Faustina, this grace of the enlightenment of conscience has never been given before and will be never given again. I look forward to it. Why? I want everybody to go to heaven, and so many just don't have the light, but we will. I hate to say it's time to go. Our expenses now, as we begin going to South America, Central America, and Mexico on the 14th of June, the Feast of the Sacred Heart on a new satellite. Some people say, well, Mother, maybe you bit off more than you could chew. With 51 million people out there listening to this little old nun, how could I bite off more than I could chew? It's just about 49 million are not giving. That is the problem. I'd rather go broke for Jesus than not try. So please, be generous. God needs you. Bye now.